All right, guys, we're going to talk about overcoming the fear of man in life and ministry. And let me just kind of tell you what we're after here. You know, we take the evaluations that you all have given us over the years very seriously. I don't know if you think we do or not, but we honestly do. I mean, someone will take every evaluation that is written up. Someone will put it into a report, probably 40 or 50 pages. I'm not going to tell you that I personally read every one of the evaluations, but I certainly read every synthesis, and everybody on our staff will take the time to read very thoroughly what you give us. And frankly, this conference is what it is today, in part because of some of the tremendous input that we have received over the years from our guests. But we just put a lot of thought into how is this really going to be most helpful for the people who are coming. And from my perspective, I see this as a frightening stewardship. I mean, like, we look at this and say, you know, the Lord is trusting us with a lot here. We better get this right, or at least to the degree that we can, we better get it right. So we spend a lot of time just thinking about how can we make this as effective as possible. I mean, we want it to be a genuine help, because I think everybody's gone to conferences where you went to the conference, you got this big fancy notebook, you got home, you put the notebook on the shelf, and that was about the end of the deal. It was never thought of again, and that would be a waste of your time. We want to do this. We want to be sure to the degree that we can that with all of the man hours, I'm talking about your hours that are being invested in a conference like this, all of ours, that it's going to result in significant changes. Now, I would assume that as you've gone through the conference this week and in previous years, but certainly what you've been hearing this week, that God is working in your heart on perhaps some changes that need to be made in your life personally. And I'm not going to have somebody slip over to the piano and quietly play Just As I Am, but I'm assuming that when you come together for a week and talk about sanctification and all these passages from Scripture, I'm assuming that God is working. Look, we have one man coming forward already. I appreciate that. Could someone get the offering plate? Changes in your life personally. Also, I would assume that for some of you, you have allowed the Holy Spirit to help you identify some changes that need to be made in your marriage, or maybe in your parenting, or in your ministry. And what I'm trying to do in this hour, see, this becomes this track four thing, this becomes a few things I've been wanting to say time. And I was thinking about, well, what might really help a man actually follow through on making those changes? Or what might hinder a guy from following through on those changes? And the answer that comes to my mind is the issue of courage or fear. If you have the amount of courage that God wants you to have, perhaps you'll act on the changes God wants you to make. But conversely, if you're struggling with fear, that could actually short-circuit this whole process. So if I've got a shot at you, and I say that in love, that didn't come out so good. But if I have an opportunity to address this august body, that's what I meant to say, I thought it might be good to talk about fear. Think of this. For some, it's going to take some courage to take steps of personal growth. And God may be putting his finger on something in your heart through his word that he really wants you to stop doing. He's identified that. He's helped you identify that this week. And maybe before you've even tried to stop, but not for the long haul. Or maybe for someone else, it's something in your personal life that God wants you to start. You know, that would be the next step in your journey if you would do that. But it's at least hypothetically possible that in the past, fear has been what has stopped you from taking that next step. And that could actually get you to an entirely new relationship or stage in your relationship with Christ you've never been to before. But if you don't handle the fear, you're never going to get there in your personal life. Or this, maybe to take a step of growth in your marriage. I mean, I'm sure we will have people in a crowd this size at a conference like this. If they were honest, they would say, my marriage is in trouble. Or others who might say, well, I'm not sure I would say it's in trouble, but it's far from what it ought to be. You know, I wonder how many Christian men have an unstated truce with their wife that's something like this. Our marriage is a six. It's not ever going to be any better than a six. And we've just kind of resigned ourselves to that fact. Or I wonder about the man who would say, I know exactly what my wife and I need to work on to get to the next place, but I'm just afraid to deal with it. I know exactly what I need to talk with her about, but I am afraid to deal with it. I'm afraid of my wife's wrath. I'm afraid of my wife's mood. I'm afraid of my wife's tongue. I'm afraid that if I talk to her about a way that she needs to change, she might come back with a way that I need to change. And so we've got this lame, you don't talk to me about my sin, I won't talk to you about your thing going on. I'm just saying fear can have a very detrimental impact on what God wants to do in your marriage. And maybe acting on some of the teaching that you have heard in a variety of different ways, but fear is going to stop you from actually doing something about that. In fact, maybe you've already thought about this verse, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare. Well, apply it to this conference and the teaching that's being done at this whole conference and all the tracks. Fear could short-circuit a lot of guys from actually acting on what God is saying to you in one way or another. Then there's your kids. We were all experts at raising children until we had some. That'll humble you, huh? And I'm sure that there are some real heartaches represented in this room. I'm sure of that. And probably in some cases the battles are over now because the kids are grown and some have chosen to be wise, but some have chosen to be fools. And there may not be a whole lot you can do at this point in time if that's the situation that you're in. But for some of you, they're still at home. And they're still under your authority. But I have known more than one parent who was actually afraid of his own kids. And maybe not afraid of them physically, although sometimes that's part of it, but just afraid of them. Afraid that my kids will embarrass me, or afraid that my kids won't like me or won't want to have a relationship with me. But for whatever reason, some guys have things in the lives of their kids they know they ought to deal with, but so far they have not done it, and it's simply because of fear. Then there's the church. The church. And a nuthetic philosophy of ministry is all about solving problems. It's all about confronting sin. It's all about holding people accountable. And I would imagine that there are a number of men attending this conference, and as you've just thought about certain biblical principles, you've thought of a particular person in your church or a particular situation in your church, and you know it needs to be addressed, and it's needed to be addressed for some time, but for whatever reason, you have not handled it. You're afraid. Maybe you're afraid because you think some of the other leaders in your church aren't behind you on that one. In fact, they like the guy who's sinning more than they like you. Or maybe the person who's sinning has a lot of other family in the church. And if you go after that, it's like, bing, 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 bing. Or maybe they have a lot of money. And you're thinking about the impact that that might have on the church financially. Or maybe that person's pretty angry and you've been on the other end of their explosion. It's like holding this thing of dynamite. Well, after you've had that explode in your face a few times, you're a little bit less likely to get around it with another match. Or maybe that person has a sharp tongue and you're pretty sure as soon as you go after it, they're going to start wagging it. Or maybe they have a lot of giftedness and you're afraid. If I talk about Mrs. So-and-so about certain things, she might quit the choir. And what are we going to do for the Easter cantata? And so for whatever reason, you haven't handled it. But at the core, the issue is the fear of man. Now sometimes in the church, it's not just a matter of solving a problem in the church as much as it is providing the leadership to that church to make the changes that need to be made. I mean, maybe that was an idea, or maybe it was a ministry, maybe it was an approach that made perfect sense back in 1970. But it's not working anymore. And the truth of the matter is, some changes have to be made, and if not, the effectiveness of the church is in jeopardy. And I'm convinced that some guys would rather preside over the funeral than lead the church to make the necessary changes that are going to help that body of people lead people to Christ in the culture that God has now placed us. They'd rather preside over the funeral because it's comfortable than provide the leadership that the church really needs to be effective in the day and age in which we currently live.